Good morning. It's March 29th and this is your daily brief in Australian news. Here's everything you need to know. In a significant turn of events, China has ended anti-dumping and anti-subsidy tariffs on Australian wine imports, potentially paving the way for the revival of a $1.1 billion trade relationship. This decision marks a hopeful step towards mending fences after 3 years of strained relations and punitive levies that began in March 2021 amidst diplomatic tensions. The tariffs had been a formidable obstacle for Australian wine exporters, significantly curtailing their access to China's lucrative market. With these barriers now removed, there's a tangible sense of optimism among Australian vintners and policymakers alike. However, it's important to note that other Australian exports, including lobster and beef, continue to face restrictions in China, indicating that challenges in bilateral trade relations persist. The Australian government, particularly through the efforts of Assistant Trade Minister Tim Ayres, has been credited for this breakthrough. Ayres has highlighted the government's persistent diplomatic engagement as a key factor in achieving this outcome. In support of this positive development, the New South Wales NSW government has announced plans to assist Australian companies in making a comeback in the Chinese market. This includes organising events and providing guidance to navigate the new trade environment effectively. For the Australian wine industry, this announcement is more than just a removal of tariffs. It's a beacon of hope for economic recovery and an opportunity to reconnect with Chinese consumers. The industry is now focused on rebuilding export pipelines and re-establishing market relationships, aiming to recapture the momentum lost over the last 3 years. This development is not only expected to benefit Australian winemakers, but also wine consumers in China, offering them a richer variety of choices. In a recent development that has drawn international attention, Russian President Vladimir Putin has made clear his stance on the escalating situation in Ukraine, particularly concerning the supply of F-16 fighter jets by NATO countries. This move has significant implications for the dynamics between Russia, NATO, and Ukraine, marking a pivotal moment in the ongoing conflict. Putin has unequivocally stated that Russia has no aggressive intentions towards NATO countries. However, he issued a stark warning that should F-16 fighter jets be supplied to Ukraine, these would become targets for Russian forces. This declaration comes amidst Ukraine's successful efforts to secure commitments from several NATO countries for the provision of F-16s aimed at countering Russian air superiority. The Russian president did not mince words about the capabilities of the F-16 fighter jets, acknowledging their potential to carry nuclear weapons. This, he implied, would be taken into consideration in Russia's military strategy, highlighting the serious implications of their deployment. Putin also cautioned that Russian forces would be prepared to target airfields in third countries from which the F-16s might operate, raising the stakes of their deployment. The discourse around the deployment and maintenance of F-16s in the current conflict has brought to light concerns regarding their practicality. The challenges of maintaining and operating these aircraft in a conflict zone have been underscored, questioning the feasibility of their deployment. Meanwhile, German officials, representing a NATO country without F-16 jets, are exploring ways to support Ukraine, indicating a broader NATO involvement in the issue. Overall, Putin's speech has intensified the discourse on the potential delivery of F-16 fighter jets to Ukraine, underscoring the escalating tensions and the complex web of implications for NATO countries, including Germany. The situation remains fluid, with the international community closely watching the developments and their potential impact on global security dynamics. In a dramatic turn of events, the Australian Professional Leagues, APL, finds itself in a scramble to keep the A-League on air after their broadcaster, Global Advance, went into administration. This unexpected collapse has left the APL facing not just a broadcast vacuum, but also financial strains from unpaid costs and the need for staff reductions. The APL, the governing body of Australia's top-tier football leagues, has been thrust into a crisis due to Global Advance's failure. This situation has forced the APL to absorb the financial impact of already outlaid costs without the expected revenue from their broadcast partner. The fallout has been severe, leading to the collapse of its digital arm and the unfortunate necessity for staff layoffs. Amid these challenges, the APL has shown resilience by securing a critical production deal with NEP for the remainder of the 2023-24 A-League season. This move ensures that fans won't miss a minute of the action, with all A-League men's and women's matches set to continue being televised. This is a significant relief for stakeholders and fans alike, who were left wondering about the fate of their beloved sport. However, the future of two clubs, the Newcastle Jets and Canberra United, hangs in balance, adding another layer of uncertainty to the league's current predicament. Despite these challenges, the APL's commitment to broadcasting all matches remains unwavering. Moreover, the league is actively seeking ways to recoup the monies owed to them, indicating a proactive approach to navigating through this financial and operational storm. In a landmark day for the Australian financial market, the S&P/ASX 200 index soared to a new all-time high, driven by notable gains across several sectors. This surge reflects a robust economic landscape, underscored by positive global cues and domestic data. The market's historic ascent was primarily fueled by the healthcare and mining sectors, buoyed by a rebound in commodity prices and better-than-expected domestic inflation figures. The S&P/ASX 200 index closed at an impressive 7,896.9, marking a significant milestone. Meanwhile, the broader All Ordinaries index wasn't far behind, reaching 8,153.7. Resources stocks in particular saw a surge, with gold, iron ore, and lithium prices leading the charge. Companies like Mesoblast Limited, Resolute Mining Limited, and Omni Bridgeway Limited stood out as top performers, although not all shared in the day's success, with Zipco Limited and Fisher and Paykel Healthcare Limited facing declines. Amid these market highs, the Australian dollar experienced a slight dip, falling to US$0.6529. However, the overall market sentiment remains positive, with projections indicating a 3.8% gain for the quarter and a 2.4% increase for March. This optimism is tempered by caution as AMP Chief Economist Shane Oliver highlights the potential risk of a market correction, despite the strong start to the year. This record-setting day not only showcases the resilience and potential of the Australian market, but also signals a cautious optimism among investors and analysts alike. The mix of strong sector performances, positive economic indicators, and external risks paints a complex picture of Australia's financial landscape moving forward. In the heart of Australian sports, a controversy stirs as the Australian Football League, or AFL, finds itself at the centre of a drug cover-up scandal. Allegations have surfaced, suggesting the use of phantom injuries to shield players from drug testing, sparking a heated debate across the nation. The AFL Doctors Association president, Dr. Barry Rigby, and former Geelong club doctor, Jeff Allen, have both stepped forward to deny these claims. Rigby dismissed the allegations as a conspiracy theory and refuted the idea of off-site testing to clear players for games. He further stated his unawareness of any recent instances where players were withdrawn from games due to the risk of breaching the World Anti-Doping Agency, or WADA, code. Adding to the complexity of the issue, former WADA Director General David Howman called for greater transparency in the AFL's drug testing system. Howman suggested a mechanism for releasing players without compromising their confidentiality, highlighting a gap in the current system. The player and coaching community have also voiced their opinions. Melbourne captain Max Gawn has pushed for tougher penalties for a first strike under the league's illicit drugs policy, advocating for a stricter approach. On the other hand, St Kilda coach Ross Lyon emphasised the importance of player welfare within the policy, suggesting a balance between deterrence and support. The AFL, amidst this public scrutiny, denies a widespread drug problem within the league. In response to the allegations and the public debate, the league is reviewing its drugs policy, aiming to address concerns raised and potentially introduce more deterrence against drug use. This ongoing discussion underscores the differing perspectives among medical professionals, players, and coaches regarding the AFL's approach to drug policy, marking a pivotal moment in the league's handling of player welfare and drug testing transparency. This has been your daily brief in Australian news. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. We'll be back Monday with everything you need to know.